everybody. It's your favorite host, Jason Varner, on this hour of American Huddle. Now, I know it's been a little bit since we got to talk, but that's all right. We're fully over COVID. The government's no longer knocking at our door, at least not for the past 2 or 3 weeks, forcing needles into our veins and promising money in return. So, we're finally able to get back on air, and I promise you, we all hope that we never have to go away again. We've missed you, and we hope you missed us. We want to thank UCC for sponsoring this hour of American Huddle and this beautiful studio and allowing me to do what I love to do, and that's talk to you. Now, on this episode of American Huddle, we've got some, I don't know what you'd call it, maybe bias, two-faced, hypocritical content? We'll see what you think. You've probably all heard by now, if you listen to any of the big boys like Hannity or... I would give a moment of silence to the great Rush Limbaugh and the guest host that's filling in for him. You've all probably heard, maybe even Glenn Beck, that Cuomo's coming under a lot of attack. I mean, a lot of attack for allegations against sexual harassment. And in case you haven't heard it, well, let's check in on our favorite mayor, de Blasio from New York, and hear what he had to say about it.
This, the latest report, and the fact that we can talk about how many people are bringing forward accusations, that it's not one, it's not two, it's not three, it's not four, it's not five, it's six women who have come forward. It's deeply troubling. The specific allegation is absolutely unacceptable. It is disgusting to me. And he can no longer serve as governor. It's as simple as that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. America, Mayor de Blasio, for inspiring us all and bringing this to the forefront of all of our attentions, as if it wasn't covering our news stations as it was. But there's a couple things, de Blasio. So you're telling me if only one woman came up and accused him, then we wouldn't be having this conversation? Because as soon as one did, we started having the conversation. And are you saying that you're now setting the precedent on how many accusers is required in order to go after someone and demand a resignation from them? So the number is six? Well, can I ask you why you weren't making that assumption during Brett Kavanaugh's hearing? Because he only had one accuser, not six. And I didn't hear you defending him. But I digress. He's been accused. Let's hear what the governor Cuomo had to say for this.
It's not true, Zach. Look, I fought for and I believe a woman has the right to come forward and express her opinion and express issues and concerns that she has. But it's just not true.
It's just not true. Don't believe her. She has a right to say what she wants to say. Don't believe her. Now, I'm not here to persuade you one way or another to believe the governor or to not believe the governor. By all means, I'm no fan of the governor. However, I am looking for some sort of standard to be set here. And since we're not accusing any Republicans at this time, this should be a reasonable conversation that we can have, and some sort of agreement should be able to be reached, seeing as we're talking about a Democrat that's being accused. So if women come out and say this man's guilty, or if men come out and say this woman's guilty of sexual harassment, should we believe them? I can't say that I agree with that. People lie all the time for a million different reasons. Should we hear them? Yes. Should we consider it a possibility? Sure. Should we all outright believe them? I don't know about that, because that's a slippery slope. I digress again. The governor says, look, she can say what she wants to, but I didn't do it. So what does the president say?
President Biden has been consistent that he believes that every woman should be heard, should be treated with respect and with dignity. And there should be an independent review looking into these allegations.
So the spokeswoman for the president says, look, the president's been consistent on this issue. Women should be respected. They should be believed. They should be taken seriously. And an independent investigation needs to be had. The biggest thing I took away from what she just said was the president has been consistent. 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 That is an important word. If you don't know what the definition of consistent is, don't trust me. Pull out your smartphone, reach out to Merriam-Webster, and see what they said is. Now, mind you, according to some recent news, all you have to do to get a definition change is, like, you know, petition Merriam, and if they believe there's enough people, they'll change the definition. But I don't believe they changed the definition of consistent. So I want you to hear what consistent sounds like, according to the president's spokeswoman and the president himself, because not so long ago, it was him who was accused, and this is what his accuser specifically accused him of.
I was up against the wall, and I remember his hands underneath my blouse and underneath my skirt, and his fingers penetrating me as he was trying to kiss me, and I was pulling away.
I was against the wall. His hand was up my blouse. His fingers were inside me as he tried to kiss me. That's very specific. That goes beyond sexual harassment. Now we're on the borderline of rape, and some might even argue rape. Okay? So it's even worse than sexual harassment allegations. What did the president say to all that, though? Because he's consistent. So what did he say?
I'm saying unequivocally, it never, never happened.
It never happened. Well, I'd say, yeah, sure, yeah, that's consistent with Governor Cuomo's. Did he say anything else, though?
I'm confident there's nothing. No one ever brought it to the attention of me 27 years ago. This is any assertion at all. No one that I'm aware of in my campaign, my Senate office at the time, is aware of any such request and or any such complaint. I'm not worried about it at all. If there is a complaint, that's where it would be. That's where it would be filed. And if it's there, put it out. But I've never seen it. No one has that I'm aware of.
Okay. Let's take a moment to pause here and really digest what he just said. I didn't hear anything about we should respect women. I'm looking at my producer now, and he's kind of shaking his head. He doesn't like to talk. Did you hear anything about respecting women? That's a no. Okay. Anything about women should be believed? Nope. Okay. Anything about we should have independent investigations? No. Huh. Well, I don't think that falls under the definition of consistent then, ma'am. But what I would say is a problem with consistency here is, I go back to Brett Kavanaugh. He had an accuser that came forward many years after the accusation. And we have to go through this big performance and show of dragging this man and his family through the mud because one woman accused him of sexual misconduct. Here's the same thing with Joe Biden. And do you remember a horse and pony show, Mr. Producer? Nothing. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen of the audience, do you remember a horse and pony show for candidate Joe Biden, for now President Joe Biden? I don't remember a Senate trial. I don't remember independent investigations. But I do remember what he just said. I just heard it. I just heard him say, well, if it was true, then she would have complained at the time. There would be reports filed. There would be, surely somebody would have heard about this. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, audience, but when we were sitting through the Kavanaugh hearing and we brought up those same concerns, which, if I may pause and say, Joe, I don't disagree with you. I find that to be logical. If there was something egregious that happened, you would think that someone would come forward and speak, right? But when we said that during Kavanaugh, we were told, oh, you need to shut up. How dare you question this woman's integrity? Do you know how much courage and bravery you must have in order to come forward after an accident like this, after an incident like this? Do you know what it took for her to come forward on the public scene to make this accusation? To simply stop this man from a promotion he didn't deserve because of actions he committed? She's not trying to get him prosecuted. She just doesn't want this man being on the Supreme Court. You shouldn't be questioning her. You need to line up behind what she says. We must believe the accuser. More importantly, we were told that she didn't come forward at the time because, well, victims of such incidents, well, they're scared, they're frightened. They don't know how to think, act, or feel. They don't know how to come forward or who to come forward to. They don't know who to trust. And you know, honestly, after some thought, I said, well, maybe that's true. Maybe that's true. I mean, let's pivot here for a moment. When Catholics saw their priests being accosted by accuser after accuser after accuser after accuser, and people said, well, wait a minute, if it happened, why didn't they come out before now? Why wait 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? When Bill Cosby had accusers come out 40 years later, 30 years later, we asked, why wait so long? The media, the left lined up in defense and said, whoa, 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 shut your mouth. How dare you, you insensitive bastards? How dare you? Those were children. Who were they supposed to come forward to? This was a man that was in power over them in relation to the priest. This was somebody they thought they were told was spoke on behalf of God. Who were they supposed to come forward to? Who would have believed them? In the case of Bill Cosby, he was a famous man. He was a powerful man. He had money. Who would believe them? Who are they to come forward to? How dare you question them? And now I go back to what the president said. Let's listen to it one more time. I'm sorry, producer, I know we weren't playing on that, but can we play his explanation of there would have been evidence from 20, however long ago, 20 years in the past? Can we play his response, his consistent response?
I'm confident there's nothing. No one ever brought it to the attention of me 27 years ago. This is any assertion at all. No one that I'm aware of in my campaign, my Senate office at the time, is aware of any such request and or any such complaint. And so I'm not worried about it at all. If there is a complaint, that's where it would be. That's where it would be filed. And if it's there, put it out. But I've never seen it. No one has that I'm aware of.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if it happened, she would have filed a complaint. We all know that. If it happened, she would have filed a complaint. Where are the Democrats lining up on Joe Biden? The way they've lined up on Cuomo. Where are they lining up on Joe Biden? Saying, how dare you, you bastard? This woman worked for you. You were a senator. You were a powerful man. She was scared. She was frightened. Do you know how much courage it took for her to come forward with this accusation? Let's hear her accusation one more time. Do you know how much courage it took for her to come forward and say these things, Joe Biden?
I was up against the wall, and I remember his hands underneath my blouse and underneath my skirt, and his fingers penetrating me as he was trying to kiss me, and I was pulling away.
Uh-huh. But she wasn't scared or frightened, or Joe wasn't a man in a position of power over her. So none of those rules apply to him. What was that about consistency? What was that you said about consistency? About how Joe Biden's been consistent?
President Biden has been consistent that he believes that every woman should be heard, should be treated with respect and with dignity. And there should be an independent review looking into these allegations.
Where was her independent review? Has she got one yet? If she has, I haven't heard about it. Have you heard about it? Now, look, I'm just a normal American who happens to have a microphone in front of him, who gets to speak his mind. But I haven't seen a single news report outlining that independent investigation. Where is Representative Yvette Clark or Nadia or Adrino or Antonio Delgado or Carolyn Maloney or Brian Higgins or Sean Maloney or Paul Tonico? And I hope I got his name right. Where are they at lining up against Joe Biden the way they were lined up against Cuomo? Where is Kathleen Rice, Nadler, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or AOC, as we like to call her? Where's Bowman, Ming, and Jones? Where's the news anchors lining up on Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, the way they were lining up on Cuomo, or the way they are lining up on Cuomo, or the way they lined up on Brett Kavanaugh, or Trump, or anyone else? And here's a more pressing question. If the hypocrisy isn't blatant for you, although they like to redefine hypocrisy as consistent, that's juicy. Why are they going after Cuomo right now? Why are they going after a governor who they were praising not 6 months ago? Who they were lining up to be the next presidential candidate of the Democratic Party. Why, he was the savior of New York. They didn't want to talk about the people that were dying in nursing homes because of the Democratic policies in that center, in that city. They covered all that up for him. They didn't want to talk about it. They gave him, what was it, a Grammy or an Emmy or whatever the award is they give out, because of his press conferences during the COVID crisis. This was their new shining star. Hell, not even 2 months ago. And now, basically, the entire Democratic Party has turned on this man, and we're forced to ask why. Now, again, do I really care that they're turning on him? No, because I'm not a fan of him. But I am concerned as to why. Is it because, I don't know, these people who died in the nursing homes come to light and it's going to look bad on the Democratic Party if they don't change the narrative quickly? If they don't assassinate Cuomo's character and say, oh, well, yeah, this was really him. It really wasn't our policy. It was him, and he was a bad guy. We just didn't know it. He fooled us all. I mean, hell, he was going around sexually harassing women. Or was it because maybe Joe Biden's presidency thus far hasn't been all that great? And even though the news media is doing their best to write a fairy tale of a story for him, the American people are not being fooled. We got to talk about that in some more detail when we get back. We got to take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsor. I'd like to thank Utility Construction Concepts for, again, supporting this hour of American Huddle and providing us with this studio. When we get back, we're going to talk about that fairy tale type writing that the news media is trying to spin on behalf of Joe Biden. In case you hadn't heard, he's showering us with money. Welcome back to another segment of American Huddle, man. God, I'm so glad to be back. I miss you guys so very much. Thank you for tuning in again. Thank you for being loyal listeners. And hopefully we're doing a good job for you, making sure that those COVID vaccines hasn't mutated us too badly. I can honestly say I don't feel any different. But if I start saying that Joe Biden is great, or that AOC is good, or that Nancy Pelosi is good, then you might want to call the emergency room for me. Those things might be going south. But all that aside, COVID behind us, right? Because Joe Biden's in office, COVID is almost defeated. And on top of that, according to the Washington Post, with this latest stimulus passing, Joe Biden has showered money on all Americans and has sharply cut poverty in a defining move of his presidency. I'm with Stephen Miller on this. I don't know if you followed that Twitter post. I don't know how you missed it. But if you did, I'm with Stephen Miller, who responded, North Korea's calling and asking you to tone it down a bit. Like, geez, man, the state media here. See, does anybody else see the shift? I mean, when President Trump was in office, let's clarify for a moment. Joe Biden comes in office and passes a $1,400 stimulus. And basically, he showered Americans with money and poverty's over with. It's done. But when Donald Trump gave $1,800 in stimulus to Americans, it was not enough. It was failing to address the need. It was ignoring the need of the American people. I mean, the headlines were on and on. Does anybody else here see the hypocrisy? Oh, that's a transition word from the first segment to this one. But does anybody else see the hypocrisy around us when Trump's money isn't good enough, but Joe Biden's is miracle, baby. It's miracle. I mean, last night he came on national TV or the night before? I get so bored, I didn't even tune in. I did not tune in. I figured it would be all over my news stations the next day with him shoving it down my throat. Why did I have to sit through another boring-ass conversation with the most boring man alive? Just saying. Apparently... his speech was why he won the presidency. He caused us to grieve together. And his passing of the stimulus bill was just a defining move. It is ending COVID, and it is ending poverty in America. Now, let me be fair. $1,400 stimulus. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you whether it's needed or not needed. I got great friends over at the Defenders, who's also on the American Pod Talk Network, who are not fond of the stimulus check. I got a great friend who is going to be running, hopefully again, for state senate or for U.S. House representative, in Alan Chester, who is not a fan of stimulus. I have many conservative friends who says, I'm not for this at all. Me, I'm more of a middle of the road guy. I said, okay, there's a need. And I always look at it this way. If there's a way for me to get some of my tax money back, I'm all in for it. And that's what I look at this as, me getting back some money they stole from me. So I'm not against the stimulus like some people are. But it's $1,400. If $1,400 has changed your life, then you have more problems than just, you know, COVID. If $1,400 has erased your existence in poverty, then you don't know what poverty is. But with that said, can I just be frank with you guys? I mean, you already know this. I'm not telling you something you don't know. This is really just for the liberal who might be tuning in to this show for whatever reason, right? Spying on us, trying to find me to say something wrong so they can sue me and all that good stuff. If you think Americans live in poverty, you're crazy. Our poor people, even our homeless people, there's shelters here. There's food banks here. There's tent cities here. Not that I support any of that. I don't. But the people that you're really talking about aren't even homeless people. You're talking about people who you consider low income, making $30,000 a year, $35,000 a year. Now, look, I'm not saying that those people are in where they want to be at. I'm not saying they've reached the end of their journey, that they've accomplished all their dreams, goals, etc. But if you're making $30,000, $35,000 a year, you got a car in this country. You got a car. Private transportation. You've got a house. You've got food. You've got power. You've got a cell phone. Computer. I walk into the houses of people that our health department would consider poverty, that by the standards of North Carolina would say they're living beneath the poverty line. They've got Xbox Ones. They've got PS4s and 5s, whatever's out now. I don't know. They've got computers. They've got cell phones. They've got refrigerators, microwaves, stoves, dishwashers. They've got a car, maybe two in the driveway. They got a house to live in. heat and power. That's not poverty, folks. You might not be comfortable and able to do everything you want to do and go on 6-month vacations. You might not live like the Kardashians, but you're not in poverty. Go to Venezuela if you want to see poverty. Go to a socialist nation in this world if you want to see poverty. When your house is rusted tin roof over a makeshift wall, when you don't have heat, when you don't have water, when your restroom is the nearest light pole or bush, when you don't know where your next meal is going to go from, when you don't have the safety and security of walking down the street to the food bank to get a steak and a pack of chicken, when you're literally starving, when you show up on a commercial asking for money, when people in your neighborhood show up bone thin, malnourished, no food, no water, no lights, no house, drinking from a mud puddle on one of those commercials, then you know you've reached poverty. Poverty in our country, and again, I say it, excuse me for the redundancy, but we are now defining poverty as someone with a house, two cars, a refrigerator, stove, microwave, new couches, chairs, beds, clothes from Abercrombie & Fitch and American Eagle, Air Force Ones, two or three cell phones, a PlayStation, computers. They go to a school. You got a college education. That's poverty in America now. And maybe that is. Maybe that's still our lowest of lows. But if that says anything, that tells you of how great of a country we are, where our poorest people are better off than 90% of the rest of the world. And people like Joe and AOC, they want to change that. And ladies and gentlemen, while I'm not against a stimulus check and me getting a little bit of my tax money back, some of the things in this bill are so socialist, are so dangerous. For instance, this child care credit. Not necessarily the credit for having children, although I think it incentivizes the wrong thing. But now you don't even have to have a job to qualify for it. You don't have to have worked and paid in taxes to qualify for this tax credit. And now they're going to start awarding families 50% of this upfront from like the months of July through December and give you payments on a monthly basis. There's another word for this. I would ask my producer, but he's shy. He won't speak on the mic. It's called basic universal income. Basic income. It's the same thing they've been pushing for, but all of you rejected. So now they're coming up with a different way of doing the same thing under a different name. I will give it the left this. They are freaking masters at rebranding. They're damn good at it. But that's what they're doing. Increasing unemployment. Unemployment, ladies and gentlemen, is not something you should be able to live on. The incentive of unemployment is just enough. It should be just enough to get you by, but be very painful so that you get back in the workforce as quickly as possible. You should not be able to afford 2 brand new cars, a house payment, a mortgage, all those extra goodies. You should be able to afford that off of an unemployment check. Your unemployment check should not be better than the average American worker's paycheck. And before you take that run with it, say, oh yeah, you're right, we should increase the wages of American workers. Wrong. Wages are directly related to production. Okay? Let's get off of this crap. I'm so glad the $15 an hour minimum wage got taken out. Because the guy who was making $15 an hour before was just disincentivized if it was passed. Yeah, you know the guy who busted his butt, who got a couple promotion, who went from a tech to a crew lead now. He's the crew leader. He got that extra pay raise. He's earning more money for getting some education behind him. Now he's making $15 an hour. But as soon as he gets there, all that hard work, now the guy that was making, who didn't do all the things he did, that was making $8, who's doing no more work, who's got no more education, who's put no more into the company, who has no more experience. Well, now he's making the same amount of money. Does the word compression mean anything to you? If you're a government employee, which most of you tend to be liberal, I hope you're listening to me. If you're a government employee right now, you should be scared to death of the talk of raising the minimum wage. And you might ask why. Because, especially if you're a tenured government employee. Because there is a word you're familiar with. It's called compression. If you're a cop, you know exactly what I'm talking about, baby. When the new guy arrives and makes just as much as you. And the only way the brainiacs in government can figure out a way around it is, well, we'll give longevity bonuses, which is another bad idea. Here's a bonus for being here another day. Congratulations, we suck so bad, you made it. Here's money. Not that I'm knocking longevity bonuses, because it's the only thing that shows any sort of sign, or it's the only method to give these people who's been there, who's got experience, the pay difference they deserve. Because if not, the guy who's been on the force for 12 years, because there's only so many sergeant spaces, right? There's only so many lieutenant spaces or slots. They can't all be promoted to those slots. So the guy who doesn't make it to that level, who's still a good cop, a good Parks and Rec guy, a good general services guy, good IT guy, whatever, but just hasn't made it to director level yet, or assistant director level, because guess what, guys? I don't know if you know, but when you get in government jobs, it's not the hardest job in the world, and you kind of just stay there because of that, and there's not a huge amount of turnover. And nepotism, I'll leave that at that, but there's opportunity for growth, but it's still limited, right? It's not like a private industry where the more you do, the more jobs open up. That's not how it works in government. So you government guys know exactly what I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, some of your government officials come around each year and say, well, can you do more with less? can that budget be decreased a little bit? Can you use one less person? And when you say, well, no, they look at you with that strange eye. And I'm not talking about state or federal government here. Some of you guys, my fellow conservatives, are probably like, no, you got it all wrong, man. Government expands never know. No, I'm talking about the poor municipal and county guys. They know exactly what I'm talking about. Compression is horrible there. But the good cop who just didn't quite make it to captain, he should make the same thing after 10 years of experience as the new guy on the force? Really? That's compression, folks. And that's what they're doing by raising this minimum wage to $15 an hour. Because let me give you a good idea here. $15 an hour is a pretty good sum of money. And it's not a lot of money, but it's like that first tier level of management that you get into. It's that first management job you get if you're just starting out, you're in college or maybe high school, or maybe you didn't go to either one and you just get your foot in the door in workforce and you're at a fast food restaurant. $15 an hour, that's what you get when you make manager. You know, that's $31,200 a year. Now everybody's going to make that. $31,200 a year? Do the math. If you're a small business who had 5 employees and 1 manager, and your manager was making 15 to 20 an hour, and your other employees were making 8 to 10 because it wasn't, you know, a high-tech job and they didn't need a lot of training, it was more physical than anything. And so your labor costs used to run you somewhere around, I don't know, $100,000 a year to $120,000. And you made $500,000 a year in sales, and all of a sudden now everybody's getting to $15 an hour a year, so your costs are doubling, so now you're at $240,000. One, that cost is going to have to be passed on to consumers. Or you're going to go out of business. Not every business can afford to pass that cost on to consumers. It's crazy, man. But getting back to this stimulus, like some of these people just don't think. Liberals just... they think with their hearts, and there's nothing wrong with that, but at some point, you've got to use your brain. But so you're getting a $1,400 check. You should have it by the end of this month. So long as you make less than $160,000, which is the hard cutoff. Mind you, if you make $150,000, you got the soft cutoff. It starts to trickle down after that. So here's my question to Joe and the Democrats and Republicans, because they're all guilty here. What about the guy who makes $150,001, just over the soft cutoff line? So he gets less money than the guy who made $150,000 or $149,999 because his life was affected less by COVID? Or the guy whose family dared to bring in $160,000, he gets no relief? Because if you made $160,000, then you were protected. You were shielded from any negative side effects of this COVID lockdown brought to you by none other than your government. That guy and gal, they get nothing? Here's my problem with the stimulus. Why I told you I supported it, I feel like I'm getting some of my money back. Yay me. But everybody should get their money back. Everybody. Trump had it right. Let's do a tax holiday. Or if not, give everybody the money. Just because the rich people have money to fall back on doesn't mean they didn't suffer. And you didn't stop taking money from them, government. I'm an equal opportunist. I'm not one of these guys that goes out and attacks the guy because he made wise choices and he invested money the right way and he busted his ass and he made it. And oh my God, this year he made $300,000. Oh no, what an elite piece of shit. That's not me. Because I know pretty damn well that $300,000 isn't a lot of money, especially in a COVID year when your business gets shut down and you got no income. None. But that guy gets no help. He gets no help. But those on unemployment, the guy not working, no mind, $300 more. $300 more than your normal payment. And not only that, but did you know this? If your first $10,200, I believe that's correct. My producer will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's $10,200. Your first $10,200, tax-free on unemployment. Tax-free, baby. I don't get it. I want to know your thoughts. Look me up on Facebook at American Huddle. Check me out on MeWe, Twitter. I'm everywhere. Find me. Let me know your thoughts on this stimulus. I mean, I'm glad it passed in some ways, but there's a ton of waste. I can't even get into it all. We're going to get into it next week. We got one more segment, guys. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we get back, we got one more quick segment. We're going to say peace out for this week. But next week, boy, do I have something special for you. I'll tell you about it on the next segment when we get back.
You're listening to an American Pod Talk production. For more content, please visit us online at www.americanpodtalk.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our final segment here on American Huddle. And this is, I guess you could define it as a good one or a bad one, sad one. I don't know. It's almost redundant in how every time a conservative comes on some form of broadcast, whether it's a podcast like this, radio, TV, YouTube, whatever, that they're warning you against your government trying to take your guns away. And always the left to come out following that saying, oh, these crackpots, they don't know what they're talking about. We don't want to take away your guns. We just want to make sure everybody's safe. Well, less than, 3 months in office already, and House passes, H.R. 8? I believe the full name on it is the Bipartisan Background Checks Act of 2021. It passed 227 to 203 with 8 Republicans. Listen to me. 8 Republicans voting in favor of it and 1 Democrat voting against it. Now, when you tally those numbers, it wouldn't have made the difference, but it would have been even closer than what it already was. So what is this bill about? Well, this is basically expanding background checks and making the sale, the private sale of weapons impossible. That's right. If you had a pistol or if you had a rifle or something like that that you wanted to sell your brother wanted it, you couldn't do it. If you had a pistol you wanted to sell your brother, used to, he could go down to the sheriff's department, get his pistol, his permit, and buy that pistol from you. Can't do that anymore. As a matter of fact, all permitting is going, I think, from 3 days to 30 days. 3 days to 30 days. So at the very least, America, listen to me, conservatives, at the very, I'm sorry, not even that. Listen to me, normal people. Just normal. You don't have to be conservative. Just like, you know, average Joe, middle of the road, kind of like me. You're a little left, you're a little right. You can kind of see both sides, but when you're looking at the left today, you're looking at them with that crazy eye talking about what the blank. Yeah, that's right. Listen up. At the very least, if this bill passes, then for 30 days, your Second Amendment right will have been forfeit. And if they can do it for 30 days, ladies and gentlemen, then you might as well say goodbye to it. It's gone. It's done. It's over with. This bill would limit the ability of people to pass on weapons to whoever comes after them. No more bequeathing it to whoever should follow you. No more grandson, son, great-grandson, granddaughter, whoever. You can't leave them to anybody anymore. What in the actual hell are eight Republicans and all those Democrats thinking? It's honestly as if, one, they never read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Hell, the Declaration of Independence. All of them allude to it. Or worse, they've read it and they just don't give a shit. They just don't care. They don't care. They do not care about your rights. It's not important to them. It doesn't fit their agenda. And they're going to sell it as, it's only 30 days. It's reasonable. And you're right. For now, it's 30 days. When they passed the last Gun Control Act, it was only 3 to 5 days. And it may have been 10, 20, maybe even 30 years. But here's the question we got to ask ourselves. Will guns be taken away from us outright in our lifetime? Maybe not. I'm 35. Maybe not. If I start eating healthy and make it past 60, maybe not. But what about my son, who's 8, or my other son, who's 2? Let's just say they expand this every 25 years. When my son is my age, when my oldest son is my age, will they go from 30 days to 90? To 6 months? To a year? I mean, if they're going from 3 days to 30 days, that's tenfold increase. If they go a tenfold increase the next time they increase it, that's a year, basically. A 1 year waiting period so that the government has adequate time to check everything you've ever said, done, felt, thought. Basically, the minority report to make sure you're not even capable of committing a crime with that weapon. The biggest crime of which would be to defend yourself against them people. Those people. Do I need to define who those people are? Well, it's the damn Democrats. Sorry. I'm not even a far right winger, but my God, liberals, you're making it hard, bro. For a middle of the road guy like myself, who literally when I walk into the room of my Republican Party, fellow Republican Party members, they're like, you just changed your affiliation from Democrats. We know all about you. You were born and raised a Democrat. you're not a conservative. I get told this. The producers, he knows. He knows. Alan Chesser calls in. What's the first thing he says? Jason's not a conservative. My buddies over at the Defenders, they're libertarians. They'll tell you, Jason's not a conservative. I think I'm conservative because the other half of my friends who are liberals literally tell me, holy crap, dude. You're like one of those crazy right-wing people with like tinfoil hats and stuff, bro. Like, you're that guy. You're weird, man. You're like, you know, against poor people and you know, like a wacko. That's what they say. Then my friends on the truth is, I'm just like most of you. I'm in the middle of the freaking road. I'm just a normal person. I try to see both sides of the issue. I try to come at it with a common sense approach. But damn, Democrats, you're making it hard. Now you want me to wait 30 days. But I know what you really want to do. You want me to wait a year, and then you want me to wait. Well, if you've waited a year, you might as well not have it. And how do I know this? Well, if this bill wasn't enough, then guess what? Good old Feinstein's doing. She's back at it again, folks. They got to bring back the assault weapons ban because the only thing assault weapons were created for was to kill as many people as possible in a short amount of time. Correct, Ms. Feinstein. That's correct. That's exactly what they were created for. That's exactly what an assault weapon was created for, yes. An assault weapon could be a knife, pistol, a rifle, many different things. I can assault you with a golf club, okay? I know what you're talking about. You're talking about a semi-automatic rifle. What did the guy say that time? What did he say? The ghost clip? The ghost clip, a 45 clip magazine. I wish I'd have pulled up that soundbite for this episode. This is how crazy, insane they are. But I know what that rifle was created to do. You're exactly right. It was created to be able to engage as many enemies. As a veteran, as someone who was an infantry soldier, who was trained in the use of similar weapons, not exactly identical, but similar weapons. Yeah, they're made to engage as many, you know, multiple targets in an expedited manner. I mean, your AR-15 is not quite what the M16 is. It's missing the burst firing mode, right? And even the Army's assault rifle isn't fully automatic, the way some Democrats like to claim. Although the Army, you know, the military does have weapons that are better suited to killing as many people as possible in a short amount of time. That would be like the SAW. The SAW's really good at that. It's really good at engaging a lot of enemies at once or really putting a couple enemies' heads down for a long period of time. The 240 Bravo, in some cases it's called a hotel, I think, when it's attached to a helicopter. I wasn't a helicopter guy, so I don't really know, but the 240 Bravo, 25 Mike, 50 caliber machine gun, the M2 Browning, all of those weapons, they're really good at killing a lot of people or suppressing a lot of people really quickly. The AR-15, which is what you mostly equate liberals to the M16, it can engage, you know, multiple targets depending on its user. But, I mean, there's a lot better weapons for that. But sure, let's follow your definition. Fine, yeah, it's created to engage a lot of people in a short amount of time, sure. And let's just be real. I don't know how many times we have to say this, but the Second Amendment, folks, you know this. This isn't for you, audience. This is for you to play to your liberal friends at work, okay? Say, come on over. You've heard it from me, but maybe hearing it from one other person will, you know, change your mind because you like peer review stuff, right? So that's what we're doing now. You know, like when 12,000 of the psychiatrists got together and said, well, transgenderism isn't a mental issue. It's none of that. And they softened the science because 12,000 of them agreed on that. Well, now that's the law. Well, let's 12,000 of us get together and repeat the following. The Second Amendment was not created for me to have a handgun to shoot targets or a rifle to shoot targets or to hunt with. or to wave wildly about as I yelled at my neighbor. It wasn't for any of those things. It wasn't for me to defend my home from a robber. I can do all of those things with it because that is a part of that right, but that's not why it was given. It was specifically given to defend myself from government, both foreign and domestic. That's right. To defend myself from you, Feinstein, and from you, Nancy Pelosi, and from you, Chuck Schumer, and from you, 8 Republicans, when you attempt to take from me my rights. Now, if you're a gun owner and it ever comes to that, I hope you're aware. The minute you defend yourself, they're going to label you a terrorist. They're going to say that you're the bad guy. They're going to come up with these phony headlines the way they did for the people who was in Washington and make it look like something that it's not. They're going to do that. Be ready for it. That's okay. They have a right to lie. That's their right. They can lie. That's a right too. Freedom of speech. They're granted the right to lie. Okay? They can do that. You can sue them for defamation, but they can lie. But that's why the Second Amendment, that's why that right was defined in the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights. So that you could defend yourself from government. So when the time came, if you remember the Declaration of Independence, there's a specific segment that talks about how we're long-suffering. But there comes a time when we must break from the bonds of our former government, right? Notice I'm not Joe Biden talking about, oh, you know the thing. No, there's a specific segment within the Declaration of Independence that addresses that after you have done your best, after you have suffered beneath the rule of a government, beyond a reasonable amount of time, when they are trying to take away your rights. You should be long-suffering. It should not. Our forefathers told us, do not do anything haphazardly, on a whim, off the cuff, out of emotion, hot-headed. Don't be the young bull that runs down the hill to kiss one. Be the old bull to run down to kiss a whole bunch. You've all heard the story, right? They were trying to warn us, don't do this quickly, without thinking. Be long-suffering. Straight out of the Bible. Long-suffering, right? But when that all other options have been exhausted, and when it's clear that your government no longer represents you, when they no longer care about your rights, when they no longer care about doing the one thing that was entrusted with them to do, and that is to provide for your general welfare, then you have to break bonds with them. And historically, and my producer's more liberal than me, but I'm asking him now, historically, when that happens, Mr. Producer, the government typically responds, would you say, in a violent manner? You can nod your head yes or no. That's a nod. Yeah. The government responds in a violent manner. The British didn't like our Declaration of Independence, so they sent men to kill us. The Russians didn't like the rebellious people. They killed them. The Nazis did not like people who rebelled against them. They killed them. The Chinese government does not like people who rise up against them, like in Hong Kong. They beat them. They imprisoned them. They killed them. Every instance that you see of people trying to break away from the established government, what happens? The government responds violently. Our forefathers knew this too. They didn't have access to the information we do, but they knew it too. And so they put this right, they clearly defined it in the Bill of Rights, in our Constitution, so that when that time comes, we would have a manner by which to defend ourselves. So that we're not like the Jews in Germany and throughout the rest of Europe when Hitler came for them and had no means to defend themselves. And so, what was the result of that? Well, their bodies were laid to rest in mass graves and ditches, at concentration camps or on the side of railways. Well, they just shot them because they didn't have any other way of defending themselves. The same way all those people who did not line up with Stalin's beliefs found themselves at the other end of a barrel, or in China, who were beaten or killed. And it's not just those three countries. Those are just the ones everybody knows about. Do your history. Do your research. Everywhere that there's ever been an uprising, Cuba, anywhere, anywhere, they die. And in all those instances, those people did not have access to weapons to defend themselves. That's why I'm the crazy guy. This is where my liberal friends think I'm the crazy right-wing nut. I'm of the opinion that whatever weapon my government has, I should have access to an equal caliber of weapon. I mean, because if I have the little, what they define as an assault rifle, and I've got this little pew-pew 5.56 round that I can shoot 30 of as fast as my finger can pull the trigger, which is fast, but it's not really fast in comparison. And they've got, if I've got five of my friends with M16s or AR-15s or whatever you want to define them as, and they got five of their people with SAWs, who's going to win that fight? The five people with automatic with the machine guns, or with the 240 Bravos, or with the five tanks, or with the five fighter jets, or the five bombers, or the nuclear weapons. Hello. And they're worried about you and your assault rifle. They're worried about you and the weapon that if you were really good, you can fire off those 30 rounds in a few seconds. Well, they could fire off one round that could take out, like, I don't know, 100,000 people, 200,000 people in a second. I haven't seen a modern-day nuclear bomb go off, but for anybody looking for context, just watch the videos of the atomic bombs in Japan. That's all I need to see. I don't think my assault rifle is going to do much against that. So you'll excuse me when I'm a little perturbed and angry. And why are you so worried about me and my gun? Hey, I'll tell you what, government. I'll tell you what. Don't erode my rights. Don't steal from me, abuse me. Don't threaten my family. And we have nothing to worry about. I love my country. I do not want anything to happen to it, even though the people in charge of it right now are freaking idiots. I don't want anything bad to happen to y'all. Y'all are still Americans. Why are you after my guns as if I do? Why are you going around fear-mongering, acting like every gun owner in America is just sitting around contemplating, conspiring to overthrow the government or to go into... Oh, I love this one. Well, all these kids getting shot up in schools... Uh-huh. Because that's what legal gun owners are concerned with. Because guess who your ban is going to infringe upon? It's not going to stop the criminal who's already getting the guns illegally. Because those are the guys going to shoot up the schools, okay? The crazy people. It's not going to stop them. But it's going to stop me from being able to defend myself if one of those crazy people break into my house. Or if you, crazy government official, tries to do something to harm me. That's who it's going to harm. That's who it's going to hurt. It's like you never watched the movie Red Dawn. Like, when Russia and Korea and China finally attack and our American military is disassembled, it was the Wolverines who saved us. And the only reasons the Wolverines saved us is because they had access to a few hunting rifles. Get on the romantic story here with me, guys. Why are you after my guns, Diane? I just want to feel safe in my home. And you will excuse me when I don't feel safe with you. I don't know how you feel, America. Maybe you want to jump on board and say that I'm one of those crazy guys. I don't know. I just think I'm a normal guy, man. Like, I'm okay with you wanting to do a background check, but really, it takes you 30 days? It takes you 30 days? I don't know. And I can't have a weapon because of the way it looks? Because if the semi-automatic part is what bothers you, then are you taking my pistol too? What about my new shotgun that shoots semi-automatically? Because they're out now. What about pump action? Because they're quicker than I guess loading one bullet at a time. Is that what you want to get us to, where we have a pistol with one bullet in it? A one round, one chamber pistol, or a one chamber shotgun? You get one shell, Johnny. You get one shell, because that's all the Constitution protects. Good luck. I don't know, man. Where's the reasonableness in all this? At any rate, I'm done rambling. I hope you guys had a good time with me this week. But next week, we're going to dive into something even more serious. It's all over our news right now. You probably don't want to hear about it, but I want to be fair about it. We're going to talk about transgenderism. I got a good friend of mine who I grew up with, was at one time a big fan of the Confederacy, like a son of the Confederacy, whatever. Is now completely pro-union, that was the big transition, I thought, for his life. But now he is transitioning into a female. And I love and respect him. He's a good friend of mine. And we're going to have a very serious conversation. I want to know what's going on in his mind. I want to know his position on things. I want to know what he expects from me as a conservative who might not agree with it. What can I do to make his life better? And what can he do to make mine better? What can we do to come together on this issue? Tune in next week, because I'm having him come on and we're going to have a very serious conversation. Probably not something you're used to on most conservative networks, but again, I'm a middle-of-the-road guy, and I want to do right by all Americans. I want to do right by my friend. And I want her now to feel comfortable, as long as it's reasonable. So we're going to have a serious conversation. I hope you tune in next week. We'll see you. Thanks again. My name is Jason Vonner. This is American Huddle. Thank you, UCC Studio, UCC, for sponsoring this studio, for sponsoring this hour of American Huddle. Thank you to all of our other sponsors. We look forward to seeing you next week.